Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with co-host Chris O'Shea.
Yes,
Christopher,
sir.
How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
I'm trying to get my headphones to work there. Getting not enough voice, and now I'm getting too much voice and all that kind of stuff. But I'm good now.
We'll get it regulated. Yeah, we're here. Another live show.
Another live show, and we're on an open show today, and today is July. I'm just so fond of July, you know?
We do know.
Today is June 19th. Grandson number six birthday, the youngest of the bunch.
Oh, wow.
Grandson number six, George Sanderson, is 4 years old today on June 19th, 2019. He just seems like he was born yesterday, and he's already
to
four
family
years.
For
yeah,
getting through
go.
This far.
Yeah, and hopefully he's having a great birthday. He wanted a cake with trees and trucks. That's all. Trees and trucks, that's all he cared about on his birthday cake. He didn't care what kind of cake it was, as long as it had trees and trucks on it,
hey,
you know?
Sounds good to me.
You know, anyway, so we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, tonight is your night to be the guest. Tonight is your night to direct the conversation. Hear the topics that you want to hear, not listen to us talk about something that we brought a guest on to talk about. Like next week, we're going to have Mary Beth Franklin on to talk about Social Security. And she, is like Mr. Social Security himself. She can answer questions better than the most of them, and I think she'll do a great job of answering our listeners' questions on Social Security, but that's next week. This week, it's just an open show. You can call in, talk about Social Security if you want to, but if you wait until next week, you'll have a super expert on it. I mean, I think we're good. But that's all she does. Social Security, that's her whole focus now.
Yeah, it is a lot of complications.
Yeah, and then they brought in some new things for to think about. So anyway, tonight, though, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, direct the conversation toward a topic that you want to hear about that'll help you, something in your personal finances, be it estate planning or income taxes or IRAs or retirement plans with your employer, company benefits, insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care. I keep saying that. It's a topic we have to do one day, long-term care. Insurance.
Sure.
It's a difficult subject. It's a dangerous risk, but it's grossly oversold. Also, at the same time, insurance agents would be jumping up and down right now. Hear me say that? Oversold. People need this. It saves, estates and so forth, and if you're selling, you make commissions out of it. You got to believe that, or you're not going to be able to sell that much. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680 to call in and ask your question, deal with the subjects that you want to hear. There's lots of different topics out there that we could talk about other than my grandson's birthday.
Sure. Well, but it's good we covered that. We don't have enough to know on the timing of the SECURE Act.
Or if they even ever pass it.
If they ever pass it.
But that's going to change the world of pensions and IRAs, 401ks and IRAs. For the better to some degree and for the worse for others.
Right. You would think because of only two or three people in the House voted against it, you would think that all the support will eventually get it across the line.
Yeah. Let's go to Steve in Frederick. Steve, how can we help you?
Yeah, I was calling. Interesting topic, Social Security. I'm in early 60s, and my wife's the same age. My wife's been a stay-at-home mom over the years, and she's worked a little bit on and off, and she's under, I believe, the 40 credits that you need in order to get Social Security benefit.
Yep.
I've been told that since I've worked, that she would be eligible still for Social Security. So I'm not really sure.
Well, that's correct, Steve. Steve, if your wife has her own 40 credit hours or credits, 40 quarters, and then a quarter, you know, is an interesting concept. So if somebody works and makes, let's call it $5,000 this year, that's considered four quarters, even though she might do it in just 1 month. So, you know, to pick up your 40 quarters isn't all that difficult if you're willing to just do some part-time work. But even if you don't, your wife is still covered by you for Medicare, and she's covered half of your age 66 benefit is eligible to her if she goes in and claims half of yours at her age 66. So she is insured under you. But she can get her own benefits if she gets the 40 quarters in.
Yeah, but how old is she?
How old is she now?
She's 60 now. I don't know if she'll get
plus.
To 40.
Yeah.
So when you said she would get partial mine, could you clarify that again?
She gets half of your age 67 benefit, let's say, 67. So if your 67 benefit is $2,500 a month and she goes in and claims at her age 67, she'll get $1,250 a month.
Even if she doesn't have the 40 credits.
Even if she doesn't have the 40 credits. That's a benefit that's available to any spouse on their spouse's Social Security benefit, as long as their spouse's 50% is higher than their own personal benefit. And since her own personal benefit is zero, 50% of yours is her benefit. Yes,
her benefit.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, very good.
All right, buddy. All right. Good question.
Thanks for clarifying. I appreciate it.
All right. Good question from you. We got to take our first pause, but we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680. Our listeners are our guests tonight, Chris. They get to direct the conversation if they call in and say, this is what I want to talk about. But if you don't, we're going to talk about what other listeners want to talk about. And Chuck and Lee are holding on the line. If I put my glasses on, I could see that a lot better, Chris, but that's okay. We're going to a pause with traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Turn, turn, turn. Judy Collins did this once, but Simon and Garfunkel also did it. And Peter, Paul, and Mary.
You're talking all around it. You're getting warm.
And the other one.
Yeah.
And all the other ones
that
did it.
Yeah.
Lots of people did it. I got to go.
The flowers and the birds and things like that, yeah.
Open show on Money, Riches, and Wealth. But yeah, I can send you the Judy Collins version if you want it. So let me know. This is Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, and you get to direct the conversation. Chuck's been holding, so we're going to him right away. Chuck and Perry Hall, how can we help you? Chuck, you're up. Is Chuck still there?
I don't think Chuck's still there.
You think Chuck left and from Perry Hall? Well, I think he wanted to talk about retirement, so maybe he retired while he was waiting for us. We're going to Lee in Towson then. Trust. Lee, how can we help you?
Well, this is a couple of months ago. You had a guest speaking about decanting of trust.
Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering if you had any clients do that since then.
Sure, we do it all the time when we need to. You know, it's an important strategy in a lot of estate planning, especially for people who have had, left a trust behind back in the early 2000s because of the way the estate tax laws were. And now the estate tax laws are dramatically different. You know, you want to think about, should we be figuring out how to get rid of that trust that is no longer necessary and may create a lot more income taxation because there are no longer any estate tax benefits. So why should we pay the extra income tax if we can figure out a legal way of getting this trust to get the step up in basis? But, that's a very interesting topic. I'm fascinated that you knew and remembered that concept of decanting.
Yeah, well, it could be a family member in that situation. And Maryland doesn't have a specific statute for that.
Now, they actually did. Too. They actually did just recently pass some good legislation on decanting a trust. Not as good as other states, but they did pass some. So is the trust here in Maryland? Is that where it's situated?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well,
do you have any idea what that statute provides?
No, I mean, what's your situation? What's the reason for wanting to decant the trust? Is there something wrong with it?
To avoid capital gain.
You don't need Maryland to help you with that, and there's ways around that one, my friend. You just need a good estate attorney who can look the document over and figure out what does it say, and who are the beneficiaries, and what do the beneficiaries say, you know? And I mean, we've done this quite a few times this year, well before any changes in Maryland law, and it's perfectly legal, perfectly standard operating things. And so just get somebody to read the document for you and who understands why you want to do what you want to do. And I'll bet you there's a way around it very easily.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care. So we're on the open show. Let me put glasses on for this. You know, it'd probably be easier to read this if I had. I can read that, Matt, look at that. It's Matt in Pasadena. but we're going to come to him in a second. I just wanted to say, if you want to call in, ask a question, 410-922-6680, and direct the conversation in your direction. We've had a couple great calls, got great questions, Social Security and decanting the trust. Matt wants to talk about inherited IRAs, and now that's a good, cool topic there. Matt in Pasadena, how can we help you?
How are you this evening?
Great. You?
Good, good. Recently, unfortunately, my mom passed away, and she left my brother and I some IRAs that we were both beneficiaries on.
Okay.
And, they're two different inherited IRAs in two different funds. One's Janus and one's Vanguard. And I'm not quite sure if I should leave it in there and do the life term or do the five-year rule or just...
You do the lifetime. You do
the lifetime, right.
Let me explain why you do the lifetime, Matt. Okay.
Okay.
It's pretty straight. What year did your mother pass away in?
She just passed away 2 months ago.
Okay, so you don't have to take out your first required minimum distribution until December of 2020. All right. But you also have to make sure that mom took her required minimum distribution for 2019. Did she?
She didn't have to. She wasn't of age yet.
Oh, okay. Now, that's an interesting concept. So your mother was only in her 50s or 60s?
She was in her 66. Yeah.
66. So then you're absolutely right. Your mother didn't have to take it. So you guys don't have a required minimum distribution until December of 2020. You do have to make sure that the accounts are split between you and your brother before September of 2020. It sounds like you've already been working on that, right?
Yeah, that's already taken care of.
Now,
I'm
keep it.
If I do take the in December of 2020 and I take that money. Can I reinvest that money, or do I have to? I obviously have to pay taxes on that money.
You have to pay taxes on it, and then whatever's left over, you can do whatever you want to with it, but you just can't put it back into an IRA or of any sort.
But I can put it into another investment.
Yeah, you can put it in just a regular old brokerage account. But here's why you do the lifetime distribution, and that is the lifetime distribution always will let you take it out in 5 years if you want to. But once you go with the five-year rule, you can never switch back to the lifetime.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, so the only time I would use the five-year rule is if I knew for a shadow of a doubt that within a few years I was going to be able to, not take any money out in 19, 20, 21, 22, and then just take it all out in 23. You know, so I could do that if I felt like I was just going to liquidate the whole thing anyway, and I want to wait as long as possible. That's the only possible reason I would do the five-year rule. But otherwise, I do the lifetime, and I can always liquidate more any year I want to, as much as I want to.
But that when if I liquidated it, it would raise my
income.
It raises my overall income for that year. So it might push me to a different tax bracket.
Yeah, but keep in mind this, okay? You said something that's very interesting right there. Might push me into a different tax bracket. Now let me give all of our listeners an education on tax brackets. Your thinking, here's my belief. Your thinking is that when you're pushed into another tax bracket, that all of a sudden you pay a lot more in taxes because you just went into a new tax bracket, and that's not true. Okay?
Okay.
Only the next dollar that goes into the next tax bracket starts getting taxed at a higher rate. All of your previous dollars are taxed at the same rate they were taxed at before you went into that higher tax bracket.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So let me explain again. So let's say I make $78,000 a year and I'm in the 15% bracket. And then all of a sudden I make $80,000. I'm sorry, 12% bracket. Right. And then all of a sudden I make $80,000 and I go into the 22% bracket. That just meant that the last $1,000 got taxed at 22%, but everything before that was taxed at the same 12 and 10% tax brackets. So never be afraid of going into a higher tax bracket. Be concerned about if you don't need to pay the taxes on it, you may be best to just continue the deferral. And that's why you go with the lifetime and you wait until those opportune years when you can take out more and hopefully pay less income taxes on it. And that normally not going to be until way into the future.
Right.
All right. And keep in mind one more thing, Matt. You can combine the Vanguard and the Janus into one new account somewhere. You don't have to keep those, one at Vanguard and one at Janus, because they're the same decedent.
Yeah, I was trying to see which one was performing better, because
Vanguard will be your better choice, without a doubt, in my opinion.
Okay.
Janus has some good funds, but Vanguard's lower cost, and their funds do just as well. All right, buddy?
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care. I got to take another pause, Catherine and Sharon, if you'll hold on for me. We'll be right back to you. But right now, I got to find out what's happening with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
See if you know this one, Chris.
Yeah, you just saw me shrugging. And so we know the song, but I can't name...
A circle. See? Circle.
Wow.
Red Rubber Ball.
I'm impressed.
Well, it's the only two songs I know.
The deep musical things that you're aware of. That and...
Green Beret. There you go. Yeah. Sergeant Barry Sadler. There you go.
All right.
Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. We got callers on the line. We're ready to go to Catherine in Crossville, Tennessee. Are you really in Crossville, Tennessee there, Catherine?
Yes, I was in Greenbackville, Virginia a year ago, but I'm back to Tennessee where taxes are cheap.
I love Tennessee. I'd love to come live there with you sometime.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Golfing is great here.
That's true. What can we do for you?
Well, my husband is 68. He retired with Social Security benefits at 62. I just hit 60. He has a pension, and I have a small pension, and I really don't want to tap into my Social Security benefits. I think I'll be like 66 and a half or 67. I was, you know, born in 59.
Right.
And I want to know, can I collect on his Social Security?
No, not anymore. So you're going to be under the new rules, and that is whenever you go to claim, you have to take the higher of his, half of his or yours, whichever is higher. It's called deeming, and you don't have a choice anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mine will definitely be higher than him.
Well, then if yours is going to be higher, you want to wait as long as possible. So 67 would be a great time to consider them as long as you're both healthy. And, you know, but even if, God forbid, something happened to one of the two of you, you waiting until 67 will still be absolutely the best thing because, or 67 at least, because actually if one of you were to, or if he were to pass away, it would actually give you another strategy you could use if, you don't want it. But it's just something that you have to be aware of, that the longer you wait, the better off I think you'll be. And but if something happened to him, it creates a whole new planning strategy for you.
Okay. Now, I do have a question. I have listened to WCBM for years when I was in Virginia.
Yep.
And can I use your services here in Tennessee, or do I have to find a local planner?
We work with clients in at least 30 states in the country, and we work with clients in three countries in the world. So distance is not a difficult. Actually, one of our best favorite clients is right there in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we go visit her quite often. So.
Okay. I had 16 years in Knoxville, went to Virginia for 2 years, and said, got to come back.
So I understand.
I can respect that.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Catherine. Take care.
Thank you for the advice.
All right, goodbye.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to Sharon in Canton. How can we help you, Sharon?
Yeah, well, you answered some of our questions with the last lady, Catherine. But so it's really, I'm 63. My husband is 66. He's on Social Security disability.
Okay.
Which isn't much. And I work full-time, but I guess it's best for me to work as long as I can. Because I noticed, I looked online, and if I'm 70, I get much more money to retire with. But will I live to 70? Most likely I will, because I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't have no high blood pressure, nothing.
There you go. Well, that's good. So you want to wait.
If my husband passes away, because he's ill, just in case he passes away, do I...
You get a whole litany of new planning strategies if you have a spouse that's passed away. So just keep that in mind. You know, hopefully it'll never happen. But if something does happen, once you turn 60, you can start collecting survivor's benefits without impacting your own personal benefits, which will continue to grow until you're 70 years of age.
Okay, I have another question real quick. My sister lives in Chase.
Yep.
Her ex-husband, who she never divorced, lived in Tennessee.
How many years were they married?
About 12 years, something like that.
As long as it was more than 10. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So can she collect survivor's benefit? Because she gets little to nothing.
So he's deceased.
He's deceased, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. She should definitely be going in. Is she still working?
No, she's disabled. She can barely walk. She's got crippling arthritis.
Oh, well, then she should definitely be talking to Social Security, because as soon as he passed away, she has new opportunities and benefits that she can collect on.
See, and I'm going to have to get her down to...
How old is she?
My sister is, let's see, I just turned 63. She's 65.
Okay, yeah, she definitely has planning strategies she can now consider. And if her husband made more money and she was married to him for 10 years, there's a survivor benefit option that's probably going to be more money for her. So definitely get her in there.
Benefits. Okay, I will. And is there a statute of limitation on, you know, you can collect? He's been dead for like 5 years.
No, I don't believe you're going to be able to get any back benefits. But
well, no back benefits. You just start new is fine.
Yeah, she'll probably just start new as soon as she goes in and claims, because every year she waited, the benefit kept getting more and more and more. So,
oh, good. So, okay, so she doesn't have to go to Tennessee or anything. She has
no,
a death certificate.
She can go right. All she needs is a death certificate and a Social Security number. That's it.
All right. Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care. Good.
Right, bye-bye.
See ya. We're going. Chris, can you hang that up for me? Number 3?
He's on the phone.
All right. Well, then I'll go over here to Bob.
Hello?
Bob in Social Security. How can I help you?
Yes, I'm a little confused. I got a question. I recently applied for Social Security. I'm 66, and my wife came in. She's almost 64. So we both applied.
Yep. Did we lose him? That's okay. Well, you know, he's going to have to call back, and I'll take him first up if he calls back in. Mark in Windsor, how can I help you? Mark in Windsor, tax lien, Windsor Mill.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. All right. I, too, have a security question. I'm 61 now. I know I'm not eligible yet. But,
okay.
I heard you say last week, if your health is starting to go down, you should maybe consider about getting benefits.
Right.
And I'm now on the heart transplant list.
Okay.
Well, so
you should definitely be in applying. When's the last time you worked?
Probably 6 months ago. Okay, well, I still work as a realtor, so I work a part-time job.
You know, only can make $8,000. If you make more than that, then you're not going to be eligible for disability. You've got to stop working, other than maybe some trivial $5,000-$6,000 a year.
Okay, I can do that.
All right. Well, then you should get yourself you don't even need a Social Security disability attorney with what you're talking about. You should be eligible for benefits straight up just by applying for disability. And now that you've been out of work for 6 months, you're eligible to apply. And then when you're fully out of work for a full year, that's when benefits will kick in.
Okay.
All right.
Yes,
so get yourself in there and apply. You sound like you're perfectly eligible for it, all right?
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, buddy, take care. And we're going to come back to Bob right away, but right now I got to take my pause. Once I come back, Bob, I promise you're up first. I'm sorry about that. And we got to go to this pause. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we got to run so we can get these callers here. Bob in Baltimore City, let's see if we can get this in. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm a little confused about the Social Security issue.
Yep.
I just applied. I'm 66, and my wife was almost 64. So we both went in and applied, and I asked them if she could get half of mine, and they told me that ruling has changed.
Now, wait a minute. Let me explain something here, okay?
Okay?
Your wife, being 64, cannot get half of yours first off, she's not even her full retirement age. So that was a problem, asking if your wife can get half of yours instead of her own benefit. But you could have taken half of your of hers. You could have taken half of hers and let yours continue to compound to 70, and they would have paid you half of hers to wait for yours to hit the max at age 70, and that's the strategy they should
have
told
you. Because you're 66, not 65.
Because he's 66 and was born before January 2nd, 1954, right?
Yes, I was born in 53.
You were born in 53. I knew that because you're 66. You hit the lottery. And what you should have done is had your wife go in and claim benefits, and then you would have been able to take half of hers while yours continued to grow to the maximum benefit at age 70. And that she's right, the rule changed, but it's only for people born after January 2nd, 1954. But because you're full retirement age now and you were born before January 2nd, 1954, you had a key opportunity. You can go back and stop yours and tell them to give you half of hers, you know, possibly. You can possibly do it. When did you do this?
Less than a month ago.
I'd go back to them and I'd say, wait a minute. You didn't tell me this. I asked you specifically. I might not ask you the right question, but I asked you specifically. You didn't even offer this information up to me. I want to stop mine. I want half of hers, and I'm going to let mine grow to have 70, and they have to do it for you, unless there's some kind of rule that says, nope, you started your own. You can't stop it now.
Okay, then.
But I'd go back and give them hell. And you know, here's what here's a little trick for
we're
you
just
too,
going,
Bob.
Go back and get his money.
Give him hell, Chris, you know. Here's a little trick for you too, Bob. Here's a little trick for you too. You go into Social Security and you ask them. You said, I specifically asked you this question. I may not have asked it right, but you didn't offer me any information. You told me wrong information. Da 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 da. I want this, and if you want it, and they say no, we're not going to give it to them, you then go to your congressmen and senators, and you say to them, this is what happened to me at Social Security. I'm not happy. And I'll tell you something. When Social Security hears a congressman or senator, call them up and say, I got a citizen that isn't happy with the way you treated him, they will change their tune quickly. Trust me on that one.
All right. Well, thank you for the help, sir.
All right, Bob. Take care.
Okay, then. Bye.
David in Parkville, how can I help you?
Hey, I got a linear question.
Okay, I'm very linear.
I'm retired Air Force.
Yes.
And I'm only 57 years old.
Ah, you're younger than me.
When I reached 67 years old, I was going to start I was 62 and a half years old. I was going to start pulling out of my Social Security.
Okay.
But I was married for 21 years. So how do I go about getting my wife's Social Security after
you can't
when I reach like 70?
You can't unless her half of her benefit is more than all of yours. Then
She's got way more money in Social Security than I do.
You could have a lot of money in Social Security, but if your benefit, let's say your benefit is $2,000 a month and her benefit is $2,900 a month. You know, half of hers is not more than you full of yours. They're going to give you the greater of the two of them, period. End of the story, whenever you apply. Doesn't matter what age.
Okay, so should I wait till I reach 65 and a half?
I would wait until you're 67 before you apply, unless you're in bad health.
And pull from hers?
No. You cannot pull from hers. You can you when you go in, David. You got to hear me now, okay? If you were married for more than 10 years, but you had to be born before January 2nd, 1954, there's no opportunity for somebody born after that date, like you and me, okay, to get half of our spouse's benefit no matter what.
Oh, so I can't pull from her Social Security, even when I reach 67 and a half? Or
no, sir, because you and I and Chris were all born after January 2nd, 1954. That strategy is down, down, down. Now, if, God forbid, your wife were to take a turn for the worse and pass away, that creates a new opportunity for you. Always keep in mind, always keep in mind for the rest of your life that if you outlive your spouse you were married to for more than 20 years, you do have an opportunity to go back and get her benefit, no matter what. Okay, so let's say she remarried three times. Doesn't matter. She died with a husband. It doesn't matter. You're able to go back and get her benefit if it's more than yours, but she has to have passed away before you that you would have any kind of opportunity for that kind of strategy.
So let's wrap this up. I can't pull from my wife's Social Security even though I was married 21 years.
Yes, that is correct, because you were born after January 2nd, 1954. But if she passes away, that creates a whole new world of survivor benefits, which is very different rules than the half of a spouse's benefit rule. Okay?
Well, I answered that question.
All right. Sorry I couldn't give you better news there, buddy. Take care. We're going to Jim in somewhere, Roosburg. Roosburg.
Roosburg, right.
Roosburg. Where's Roosburg?
East of
He doesn't Centerville. Even know where Roosburg is. Where is it?
East of Centerville.
Ah, there's a place called Roosburg, east of Centerville.
Yeah, the man, Mr. Well, you know what the history, man, Mr. Ruth, owned the 7 miles from where his estate is back in the colonial days.
Okay, well, you're going to have to ask your question because I won't be able to answer it for you.
Okay, I have an IRA, and I'll turn 70 this summer.
Okay.
And I think I heard one time you said when I start drawing, I could do a contribution to my wife or give something to my wife, a gift.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. So
when I draw off my IRA, I can gift her some of that money.
I mean, you can give her all of the money anytime you want. I'm sure she'd be quite happy with it, too.
Okay. Okay. And then, what I'm thinking of doing is, you know, when I start doing the mandatory, is take that and throw it into her IRA.
As long as one of the two of you are working. Remember, one of the two of you have to be working to contribute to an IRA.
Yeah, she's working and I'm working.
Okay, so if your required minimum distribution is $10,000 and she's still working and under... Now, keep in mind, too, that you can put it into a Roth IRA, even if you're over 70, for yourself, as long as you two don't make more than $193,000 together.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay, there we go.
Right, so you can do a Roth for both of you every year.
All right, she has a Roth set up, I don't.
Yeah, see, we do this a lot for clients. We take out their required minimum distribution from their traditional IRAs, they pay taxes on it, and then put it back into a Roth IRA because they're still working, making money. That's a very common strategy that we use.
Okay.
All right, buddy?
All right, thank you very much. Have a good show.
You enjoy Roosburg, my friend.
I'm a Roosburger.
Thank you. See you, Jim. We're going to go visit Roosburg sometime.
What county is it in?
It's in Queen Anne's.
Boom.
There you go. One day we're going to go have a hamburger in Roosburg.
All right.
All right.
Look forward to it.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna